Let's just pray for a moment. Our gracious, loving God, we just give you thanks for this opportunity to delve into your word. May you come upon us today, Lord, through your Holy Spirit and through your word. May it be a light to our path. May it be a guide to our life. Lord, we just pray this in your holy name. Amen. Now, we're in our second week on generosity, looking at generosity. And before I get into my message, I just wanted to acknowledge all the mothers and the women who so generously give of their time, energy to their families. Have we got any women like that today? Okay, good. At least some people have been modest there. That's great. But more broadly than that, not only do you give time and energy to your family, you give them to the community around you, the events, the places, the things that are happening around you. It's such a wonderful model of generosity, of giving, of being prepared to give of yourself and your time, your energy, of your whole very being. It's a great model of generosity. So while I said that, what I want you to do is think for a moment. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions as we step into this Bible passage, looking at the Bible passage around generosity that we have here. Here's the first one. I don't necessarily want you to call these out. You know, if you think of somebody, you don't have to call their name out. But let me ask you this: who's the most generous person that you know? Think for a moment. Got that? Have people got an answer? Okay, good. At least somebody's got an answer. That's good. How are they generous? Okay, that's an interesting question. How are they generous? Let me ask you the third question. Is their generosity about how they use their money, or is it actually about something else? You know, whenever we think about generosity, we often drive into that whole nature around money, how we collect it, how we use it, how we spend it, whether we give it away, whether we hoard it, all those kind of things. How we use our money actually follows our heart. How we use our money follows what we consider important in our lives. I don't know about you, but have people been watching the news lately? Have you been keeping track and abreast of world events? Been keeping track of that we've had an election? Keeping track of tariffs and all these things that are happening around the world? How two countries are now at war? Just recently, that's let alone the ongoing conflicts that have been happening for years now. It got me thinking around: are we generous? Where's the generosity that happens within our society and our world that we have? And it made me think, is there a lack of generosity? Actually, I want to make a slight change to that. It's not necessarily a lack of generosity. I think it's a limiting of who we give our generosity to. I mean, if you think about US politics at the moment, I don't really want us to think too hard about it. It just makes me angry. But if we think about that for a moment, it is actually about a lack of generosity. It's not sharing it. It's actually trying to limit the generosity that we have. It's limiting the way that we treat people who are different to us. And I don't think that's generous in any means. Like last week, there was the truck that went down the M1, was driving down the M1, and they happened to release all these metal shards on there, and people had all their tyres, punches in all their tyres. And one of the news stories they had out there was about the people who were driving in the opposite direction that had no thing there, and they're trying to claim punctured tyres when it actually wasn't part of it. It kind of got me to think around that, claiming for things, having things that they're trying to work on the generosity of this company that's going, I want to give to that, but it's actually taking what's not there. It's thinking about what can I have? That's not being generous. That's trying to claim stuff for yourself, isn't it? It's, in all of these things, I'm kind of going, we're not called to limit our generosity. We are called to be more like Jesus and express that great love that God has for each and every one of us in the world. I want to share a reading with you. It comes from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 12. And in this, it talks about God's love. And I want us to think about, when we talk about generosity, we talk about sharing love. And I want us to think about how that, and God sharing that love, that's a generous love. It's giving love is an act of generosity. So let me delve into this reading for us just for a moment. And it says this. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. So, dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression of us. See, God here is giving the generous gift of his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, generosity, so that we may have right relationship, we may have a close relationship, we may be restored back into God's grace and providence. And that is generous love. In our Bible reading that we had from 1 Timothy, the Apostle Paul is talking to Timothy, instructing Timothy on how he's to address actually the kind of the corrupt leadership within the Church of Ephesus. And actually, interestingly, there are a number of leaders and teachers in Ephesus that were kind of doing false teaching. And part of that false teaching was, and the way that they were doing it was they were actually charging the people of Ephesus. Ephesus was quite a wealthy city. They were charging the people of Ephesus to come and hear the message of God. They were going, pay me more money and I will teach you more stuff. Sounds kind of like a self-help Tony Robbins kind of thing, doesn't it, for a moment? But here what Paul is doing is he's encouraging Timothy to stand up. And these false teachers are teaching other things. They're teaching about how if you're wealthy and you've got a lot of money and you've got more blessings in this. And so give more money. Give more money to me and you'll see how wonderful it is. I'll release more. But we know that that kind of flies in the face of Christ's teaching. It flies in the face of the way Paul lived his life and encouraged that. And so... all of this is slightly different. Paul makes it clear that what a church believes directly shapes how its members live. That's really, I want you to really hold on to that for a moment. Paul is saying here that what a church believes, and that the church is not the building, the church is the people in this, what each and every one of us believe actually shapes how we live. So false teachings are coming in and we don't have devotion to Jesus Christ, we have devotion to worldly things, then that changes what we think and how we live. Ultimately, the church should be known about its devotion to our risen Lord Jesus Christ as it lives out this model of integrity and serving the poor and the most vulnerable around us. And this is actually the final bit of advice that Paul gives Timothy in this letter. And let me just delve into it. I've kind of taken that little first chunk. There's that wonderful prayer that Paul has in there, and then there's this final advice he's got in there. So we're going to look at those two bits there. So 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 to 14. So this little first chunk. But you, Timothy, are a man of God, so run from these evil things. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And let me just pause for a moment, because when we do translations, we're translating from the Greek that we've got these letters written in, and the words have different ways of looking at the meaning. And you'll notice that as we get into this further on, you'll actually see that there's some translation words are slightly different and give us a slightly different meaning, especially in the next section. So, but you, Timothy, are a man of God. So run from these evil things. That's the false teachings. Pursue righteousness and a godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses. So continue to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. Continue to live a life that is shaped by that good news. And I charge you before God, who gives life to all, and before Jesus Christ, who gave a good testimony before Pontius Pilate, that you obey these commands without wavering, that no one can find fault with you from now until the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. So Paul's encouraging Timothy to be different to these corrupt teachers, these teachers that are trying to drive people away, that are charging lots of money to hear them, who've infiltrated the church with a desire for wealth. And so Paul is going, live differently to them. Let your faith in God and your faith in what it actually means to be a follower of Jesus Christ really reflect in your life that you live. Become more like Jesus in everything that we do. More like Jesus as he continues to teach. And if we remember Jesus' teachings, we know that he will often teach about being content in that time and having more simple living. And this comes across differently. So then Paul goes into this little prayer and gives thanks, and then comes into this little section that I want us just to focus in. And let me say this, before I delve into this, I always find it difficult to talk about generosity and money and giving, because I never think I'm a particularly generous person. And I don't think I always use my money in the best ways. Has anybody ever felt that way themselves? So I'm not trying to be humble, but I'm just saying I actually find it, difficult to think about it and going, what I want to do is always come back to the Bible when we're talking about this, not adding the other things to it. I want to come back to the Bible and what it's saying. So here's where, in the New Living Translation and the NIV has this little slight nuance around the words. And it says this in verses 17 to 19 of 1 Timothy 6. Teach those who are rich in this world. Notice that teach and command that has a slightly different kind of nuance around that. But teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud. In the NIV, it was not to be arrogant. Not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Notice this. Notice the difference there. Who is arrogant around their money? Or who is proud of what they have? Notice there's a difference around that. Many people, and I want to say this with all honesty, I'm a very wealthy person when I look around the world. I don't know about you. Do you feel wealthy? We live in a country where we have so many amenities, so many things. We've got access to internet. We've got, devices that cost thousands of dollars just sitting in our pocket. We're wandering around, and that would feed a family for many years, in a different part of the world. We are so privileged, so wealthy. And I want to think, I don't live arrogantly. but I often think I am a bit proud around what I have. And that really kind of, okay, am I proud of the wealth I have, of the money I have, of the privilege I have? I don't want to put my reliability in that. So coming back into that. So let me go back in there. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasures as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life. You know, the life that only God and being in God's presence can give us. Yeah, we might be wealthy, we might have money, but it's about how we use it. But it's more than that. You know, this passage really cuts home to me. I read it and I go, am I doing that? Is it, you know, when we read it aloud today as a church, did it cut home to you? Or were they just words that float across us again? It always makes me think about how we use our money. Let me delve into just a couple of quick little points. First of all, don't let your money produce pride. Thinking that if you've got money, if you've got possessions, that you are better than those who don't have money or don't have possessions. You know, for some unbeknown reason, you know, this whole thing about a kind of prosperity theology says that God, if you've got money and wealth, God is somehow blessing you. Yeah, there is a blessing in that, but that's not because God's doing that. God will bless you with so much other things. But it's not about the money. Point number two, so don't let money produce pride, because that pride will go, I'm producing that, I'm creating it. My family of inheritance is giving me this. I can earn this, all of this money and all of this wealth, all my possessions I have, I'm going to be comfortable. Let me say this, you can't take it with you. Money is not going to be of any use in the kingdom of God in heaven. You can't take it with you. You can only use it here and now. So we should be placing our hope and our trust in God, not in our money and possessions. Your possessions don't give you eternal life. Your faith and trust in God gives you eternal life. But finally, this little point. Paul is encouraging and is being commanded to teach those who have wealth to be good stewards of what they have. To be good stewards of what you've got, to actually be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share what you have. Your income, what you have, gives us an opportunity to give our blessings to others around us. The more we bless, the more we can give away. That's not a thing to go, oh, go and get more. But that's actually saying if you have the means and the ability, you can be generous. There's a difference in this. And this kind of flies in the face of our Western kind of consumerism model that we have around our world, which is to earn more so that you can spend more, so that you can have more, so that the companies will keep on getting bigger and better and we get more stuff. I do look around our house and go, wonder at times, we've accumulated so much stuff. And you especially know that when you have to move. And you go, you got to put it all in your boxes, and then you're going, I had this and it was so important to me, but I'm still keeping it. I've never used it. That is not what it means to be generous, to accumulate all those things. Be generous. for you are more than your money. I want to say that. Let that sink in. Be generous, for you are more than your money. Your money doesn't define who you are. God defines who you are. Let me say this, church, and I'm just going to share with this you. And I don't want us to be generic around this. I want to actually make it specific about Pittwater Uniting Church here. And I'm going to say a couple of things. What we believe, that is, in Pittwater Uniting Church, will directly shape how we, as the followers of Jesus Christ, the believers, the people here at Pittwater Uniting Church, how we live and behave. What we believe actually affects the way we live and behave. So for Pittwater Uniting Church here to be full of completely devoted followers of Jesus Christ, completely devoted disciples of Jesus Christ, then the scriptures, what we have in the Bible, the good news about Jesus Christ, will and must continually inform our theology and our beliefs. So when we have something, we are always going to go back to the Word of God to shape what our thinking is about. At the same time as that, as what our theology and our thinking needs to be, informed by God, informed by His words, come back to that. Our outward behavior, what we do, the way we portray ourselves, whether we are generous or not, and I want to say that we should be generous, is so important. We are called as Christians to be people full of integrity, to be known as generous, to do good works, to serve the poor and those in need, the vulnerable in our community around us and across the world, to serve Jesus Christ, to love like Christ loved, to give generously with all that we have. For we are a people who are generous in all aspects of our lives. Let me say that again. We are people who are generous in all aspects of our life, just as God is so generous through the love that Jesus Christ has given us. Let's just pray together, church. Oh Lord God, you challenge us to look at ourselves. Look at us seriously at who we are. And Lord, give us a heart of generosity. Give us a heart that is open to see the needs and hurts in others. Give us a heart that sees the reality of our situation and in the world that we faced. Lord, help us to give more freely, to give more openly and honestly, to give that the good works may be done. Give of our time, give of our energy, give of our whole being. Lord, we are not our money. Our money does not define us, but Lord, you define us. Lord, speak into our hearts today of who you see us to be. Wonderfully and beautifully made in your image. Living your will in our lives. Oh Lord, we just pray this in the power of Jesus' name. Amen.